Welcome to Creating Abundance with Alana Cahoon, sharing inspirational stories from experts around the world. Tap into your inner wisdom at alanacahoon.com. It is my pleasure to welcome our guest today, Stacy Nye, a lifelong entrepreneur, master trainer, and expert coach of the Fix Code. Stacy works with coaches and practitioners to teach them this tool. The Fix, or F-I-X, code releases fears and negative emotions in 5 minutes so that they can have success with their clients. This is not talk therapy, but feels like a quantum guided meditation. Thousands have experienced this and have moved toward their goals gracefully. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you very much. This is great. I'm very excited.
Yeah. So, the first question I have to ask you is, what does FIX stand for?
Great. Great question. Thank you. It's actually Fleer, which is Daniel's last name, who's the creator and founder of this technique. Okay. I stands for your intuition, because we can't really teach that. It's like, it is yours. So each person that experiences the technique and also learns how to do the technique brings their own intuition. It lights up. It's part of their ancient gene activation in that beautiful, expansive way as we start to do the Fix Code. And the X stands for extraction. It's kind of like, let's get rid of it. So, and then the code is the programming that is disconnected, that is extracted from the physical body and the unconscious mind. So it's wow. Quite clever. It's a very clever name. It sounds really simple, as you know, we throw it around, but it has this beautiful DNA to it. And it's very activating. The DNA of the name of it is very activating. So when people hear the Fix Code, they're like, huh. Because there's something in it that activates this awakening. This, we call it the ancient gene, the awakening of the ancient gene, which is now. We're here. It's safe to activate now. It's time to activate. People, some people call it the awakening. Some people, call it like ascension, which is all amazing words. Those are all true happenings right now. And this technique allows you, with grace and ease, to activate that awakening in a safe space, because this technique isn't, as you mentioned in the opening, isn't talk therapy. You don't have to be revealing and gushing. Someone once said to me, you don't have to do it anymore. We teach, there's no content in content worth knowing for this technique to work. I don't need to know, or a practitioner or someone that knows how to do this. You don't need to know the content of what is upsetting somebody, or what is bothering somebody, or what is frightening somebody, to be able to help them. We have a magic question, and we called it the magic question because when Daniel was creating this with it, he'd already created the technique, but I was like the guinea pig, the crash and dummy of all of it, as he met me 15 years ago, because I asked 1,000 questions. I was the client that said, and why did you do that? And why did you do that? And tell me why you did that. And what happens here? So it is a real active process that allows you to clear those negative feelings, those negative programs that are driving you crazy, that are pulling you down that slippery slope of, I felt great this morning, and one little thing, and I can't get it together again.
Yeah.
This technique allows you to not slide, because it's not the trigger that is removed, because the trigger is the outside source. That all that does is trigger what's in here, right? What's we call them negative programs, parasitic programs. Once that is triggered from the outside source, this thing wakes up and it starts to tax your physical body, and it takes over your mind. You're in the loop, can't make it stop. Mm-hmm. Right? This technique identifies whatever that program is that just got triggered by using the magic question. And we do the process. And the process takes a couple minutes. It feels like a guided meditation. It's beautiful. It's an incredible experience. And the results are it's gone. And it's gone forever. I've done this now, like I've probably done a million extractions with people over the 15 years. And that feeling or whatever it might be is completely gone. You can see it. You can see the events of your life that you felt that way, but you no longer feel that way about those events. And you won't, and there's nothing in, there's the parasitic program is gone. That negative programming is gone. So it can't create new memories. It can't start it again. It's gone. It's like taking a splinter out of your finger and you've adjusted your whole life because of this splinter. Like you can't do your pants up. It hurts when you do the dishes. So you find ways around how to do the dishes, or you hang on to the driver's wheel with like one finger up because of the splinter. Like you just adjust your whole life because of this horrible feeling. With this technique, we find out the name of that splinter, whatever that feeling is, or fear, and we remove it through the extraction process. And within a matter of an hour or so, you just totally forget your finger ever hurt. But life feels so different because dishes aren't horrible now. Pulling up the zipper on your pants doesn't hurt anymore. So all of a sudden life just feels easier.
This fixed code sounds like it gets to the root of the problem, the source wound.
Every time.
Yep. And it accesses the I, which is your own innate wisdom. So if yes. For instance, you were doing this with me, it would be my intuition, and then you would shift the code. You would, I don't know, impact within my psyche a new code. Is that it?
And I'll ask you and your viewers the magic question, because it's not a secret.
Okay.
Magic question is, biggest problem you have in your life right now, when you think about it, don't tell me what it is, but when you think about it, how does it make you feel? If you could put it in one or two words, what would it be? Whatever you and all of your viewers say, that the word comes to you, it's like you can't fake it. Whatever it is going to pop up. Whatever that word is what we do the work on. And what happens is that whatever that is, whatever that feeling or fear is right now that you're feeling, when we do the work, all of the content that you felt that way about, all the memories that you have that you felt that way about, which are thousands and thousands of things, you no longer feel that way about them. It's just a memory. So it becomes neutral. And then what happens is because it's neutral and there's nothing anymore pulling it up, because it can't be triggered, the feeling's not there to be triggered, you stop thinking about those events.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting pulled up anymore. So you just forget about it. You forget about that event. You forget about what she said. You forget about that horrible thing, like all of it. So it's incredibly, I always joke around, and yet it's the truth. The fixed code technique, when you use it on a daily basis as a regimen, as like brushing your teeth. I do this. This is something I wake up with and I say, okay, biggest problem you have in your life right now, when you think about it, how does it make you feel? If I'm like, I'm good, I'm good. But all of a sudden, if something's like, something's niggling there, right? Okay. I do the work. It's like brushing my teeth. And then I get on with my day. And at the end of my day, I sit again and ask myself, biggest problem you got in your life, girl, how does it make you feel? And again, if there's something there, I do the work. If I'm good, I go to bed. It's like brushing my teeth. This is a spiritual routine that we have all, everybody that practices the fixed code and learns it, uses on a daily basis, because it is that good.
Yeah.
It keeps us in clarity. It keeps us, our mind, you want peace of mind? This is what you want to learn, because this gives you peace of mind. What is not giving you a peace of mind, or why you're feeling foggy or muddled, like all the kind of confusion in your mind, is these things, because they make you think of stuff you don't want to think about all day long, sometimes for decades. This technique will stop all that. The chatter in your mind stops. And then you add on the even cooler stuff, which is once these things are gone and removed from your physical body and your unconscious mind, they can also no longer hurt your physical body. Like if we go back to the splinter idea, we pull out the splinter, it can't hurt you anymore. It's gone. So your physical body does what it does, which is heals itself effortlessly. We don't have to put anything back in. Same way that if we pulled out a splinter, we wouldn't put something in. We'd just let the body heal. And that's like this technique. It's so smooth. We don't need to add on anything. And as practitioners, it's funny, as practitioners are learning this, it's like, yeah, but I want to put stuff back in. I'm like, why? Your client's physical body and unconscious mind knows way more than you could ever say in words. So how about we just not talk and let the client's unconscious mind and physical body heal itself and stay out of its way, because their unconscious mind knows way more than I could ever know. So it's a very humbling process as a practitioner. We definitely don't walk into this going, I know more than the client, because I don't. Yeah. I don't even know what they're talking about. I don't even know their story, and I don't need to know their story. So it's a very, from a practitioner's perspective, very freeing, because I'm not exhausted at the end of the day. I can work with 18 clients a day and I'm not tired, because I'm not being triggered by their content. I'm not being triggered by their negative programs, because I don't know them.
All right. So I'm intrigued, and I am certain that everyone watching and listening is intrigued by this. So Stacey, you have such an interesting, adventurous story yourself. Why don't you share a little bit about you, about Stacey, and how you were raised and how you discovered this very fascinating technique?
Sure. Thank you. Okay. So I was born into a world of excellence. My parents are beyond incredible people. I have an incredible sister, also very high performing family. And we were taught at a very young age to have impact and be kind and to do what we can to be in service to others and in our special ways. So my sister, without question, has done that her whole life. I also in very different arenas. And I chose I was also a high performance athlete as a child in gymnastics. So that kind of became my thing. Like I'm an athlete. So as a high performance athlete, and then also having two parents in high performance athlete careers, my mom was in gymnastics, my father was in wrestling, and also holding very high positions in those fields. My imprint years, I was born in Montreal, Quebec, in Canada. In my imprint years, I was born in 1969, and by 1976, the Olympic Games were in Montreal. So my imprint years were these, my mom and dad and these amazing people from all over the world would come in for the summers, and they would, old style, everybody had a typewriter in front of them and, you know, paper, and it was like, that was my childhood sound. But I would hang over the couch watching these brilliant minds. Men and women. So I had none of this, guys this, women this. Yes.
So the Olympics were held in your living room?
Yeah, pretty much. And one of my favorite games as a child was doing opening ceremonies and getting all the kids in the neighborhood to, like, we did arts and crafts, and we would do the Canada and US and, you know, all the different countries. And they would march into the living room with their teams, and I would run opening ceremonies in my living room and gymnastics competitions in my living room all the time. I'd have the four judges in the corner, and everybody had to make the routine.
I love it. So when the Olympics were held there in Montreal, the athletes would be visiting your home.
Not the athletes. It was all of the kind of organizing team that were building the level of sport and new policy. I watched my parents, both of them in their respective sports, build international policy that was safety for the Olympics, for the athletes, for coaches, for all these kinds of things, you know, like judging qualifications and training and coaching training. It was just, it was nonstop. I mean, even phone calls, you know, I would hear my parents on the phone and they were talking with people all over the world, again, building coaching programs and the Olympic level coaching, you know, all of those kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
From recreational all the way up. So, and I was always encouraged to listen. Both my parents were always like, listen and watch, listen, you know, listen and learn, listen and learn. So right from a young age, I just soaked all this stuff up. So I'm not surprised that, you know, my friends call me the girl with the Rubik's Cube mind, because I think big, I see big strategy, I think big concepts, and how to be able to serve millions and millions of people in one experience. And so I dove into that as a career at 16. My father brought me to the Commonwealth Games in Scotland. And at that point, I had been to many Commonwealth Games. My summers were, every year was either an Olympic Games, a Pan American Games, or a Commonwealth Games. So like, that was my childhood. We traveled all over the world following my parents' work and that kind of, I loved it. I absolutely loved my life. And at 16, my dad said, come on, we're going to Scotland. And I was like, okay. And he put me to work, and I fell in love. It was absolutely the first love of my life, was my work with working with these kinds of organizations. And I just said to my dad, I want to do it again. Like, when can I do this again? And he said, well, we're going to Pan Am's next summer. So if you want, you know, and I asked my boss at the time, and I said, I'm free next summer. And, you know, I obviously I'm working for free. So I was in the budget that way.
Yeah.
And they said, yes. And when I went to Pan Am's at 17, they then, all of the people rallied and said, we're not going to go to Calgary Olympic Games without Stacey. So, because I had organized the office and transportation, and I created this big
Wow.
wall board that everybody was like, holy cow, this is incredible. And I just kept falling more and more in love with all of these experiences. And I ended up in Calgary Olympics, which again, sent me on a total amazing journey. Learned how to ski, you know, like all sorts of fun stuff, because I was out in the mountains, and then was asked to do Seoul, Korea. Now, I'm not even 20 yet. I think I was 19 in Seoul, Korea. And that was a massive Olympic Games. And I decided to start traveling the world instead of going to school, because I'd already missed the September of school, because the Olympics were in September. So I thought, I'll keep traveling. And that's when my sister and I were traveling together. And we ended up in Sydney, Australia, in Bondi Beach. And both of us fell in love with Bondi Beach. And my sister ended up, still to this day, lives there. She met somebody and fell in love there. And I've gone back and forth many times in my lifetime to Sydney, and I ended up working on the Sydney Olympic Games, because again, part of that just love for all of it.
Yeah.
And then last year, my son's in university now. I kind of had no reason to be sticking around the little town I was in. I knew that the fixed code for me was a global, it was bigger than kind of my interaction on Zoom, because this really came to light through COVID, because we were doing live events prior to COVID, which is, you know, intensive, labor intensive. When you're doing live events, it's very expensive bringing everybody in. And I didn't even know Zoom existed before COVID. Like, it wasn't kind of my thing. Computers are not my thing. And I saw the opportunity to really kind of go global with this in a way that of being able to reach people at a very affordable way. Mm-hmm. And how could I figure this out? And I did. And we started to run the courses, the online training, and then we added in a live training, which is Zoom. But, and then the impact started again for me. But in the middle of all of that, so 2000, I was in Sydney, and then 2004, I went to Greece for the Olympics there, which was, again, amazing experience. But in 2002, my life took a really wicked turn. And because I had been living in such a high frequency environment and high frequency people, and very goal oriented and very high vibe is basically it, like very clear,
yeah,
people that like spiritually mature is the best, mm-hmm, way to explain it. I was in a very spiritually mature environment. Both my parents are very spiritually mature. So I knew the etiquette of this world, and I thrived in it. And it was very kind and polite space. And in 2002, there was an accident, and with my husband and I fell into what I call hell. It was the only way to explain it because I had never been in this space, in this frequency. It was terrifying. It was dark, and I didn't even know dark existed, like not even a little bit. And even if it was around me, I didn't notice it. I just didn't. I always felt very protected. I always felt like there was an army of big spirits around me going, "You don't you touch this girl." You know, I always moved through life very effortlessly and very gracefully
How
and with a lot of
beautiful.
ease. Yeah,
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I didn't know any different until this particular night.
Okay.
And this night is the only way to explain it, is like hell came screaming in. I could actually hear it. Like I could hear hell screaming in. And my life changed instantly. We were bankrupt in a matter of seconds. You know, like when I look back, it was like that moment collapsed us financially, spiritually, emotionally, all the happy left. And it
So the
was a
universe just
struggle.
gave you
Everything.
one big blow. You'd had a really wonderful, glorious ride in this safe environment, exciting, adventurous. You felt a high vibe. And then just because often we fall, right? This is part of life. But it sounds like this ball came crushing down.
Oh, and I think because they knew how strong I was, that I could always sort it out. I always had this like incredible optimism. Like, it's okay. Like, I was never like, oh, if that didn't work, I never sat in it. It was just like, okay, well, not for me. Like, all good. Like, I never felt rejected or none of that. I was just like, okay, well, move on. Like,
Yeah, you
I
had a
can't. I
smooth ride. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So then what happened?
Everything fell apart. So now it's like zero finances, really in trouble that way because of the hospital bills and all that kind of stuff. And it just really threw me off my axis and I got lost. I got really scared. And more of like, more than I was more scared that I was lost because I'd never been lost in my life. I had never not been on my axis. I always knew what was next, where I was going, how I was going to feel, how to be better, how can I contribute more? Like those were the things I thought about, not like what's around the next corner, who's going to like pop out of anywhere. Like I got scared. I was afraid to leave my home. I had a newborn. I didn't know where to throw myself, really, like just constant fear. And I was pretty fearless prior to that. Like I had no reason to
Yeah,
be
it
afraid of
sounds like
anything.
it.
Yeah, and none of it had ever bothered me, which of course, in hindsight, was showing me the different frequencies, showing me the different levels. And of course, I was spun off my axis to again, in hindsight, isn't it beautiful? But while you're in it, it kind of sucks. Is as it moved me through, I ended up, we ended up, my husband at the time and I moved to this little town, which was only 45 minutes from Daniel, who is the creator and founder of the Fix Code. And I opened up a little gymnastics club. And again, I would never have moved to this town. It was 6 or 7 hours away from where we were living. So it was, I would never have moved there, but all of this incident, you know, moved me in this direction. So I'm now in this little town. I'm trying to figure out what to do for work because what am I going to do here? You know, I ended up opening up a gymnastics club, which was super fun and it was really easy and it was perfect for the where I was in my life. At this time, my son was 5. So I owned my gymnastics club from like he was 5 to 10. So it was pretty perfect. You know, best playground in the whole town. Every kid came to it every day. So in this particular pocket of my life, even though I was hanging on by my fingertips, I really was. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what was coming by the moment. It was horrible. But of course, nobody knew. I told nobody anything because by the time I got to this little town, the accident was so far behind us that to say anything now, and I'm so private, like to think I talk on podcasts and tell this story is crazy because nobody knew anything. Not even my sister knew really what happened for years and years later. So I'm very private at my base. I was sitting in, we ended up getting separated. About a year after I opened the gymnastics club, and that was the enemy. I was just like, okay, I've got nothing left, but I have to keep showing up every day for my child. I have to keep showing up every day for my little people in the gym and my coaches. And I had a huge staff and, it was a big responsibility, 7 days a week, 14-hour day kind of business. So I had to keep it together. And one of the moms popped in my office one night and it was dark. And I was, of course, sitting there with tears coming down my face, just holding it together. And I think I was like, 20 days into my separation. And she said, "Okay, sweetie, like you give so much to every single person that comes into your life, stranger or bestie. Like you give it all to every single person. You sit on every kind of board here, whether it's the Christmas Foundation or the Christmas Parade or whatever. You are all in everywhere we go. So we don't, none of us know what's going on, but we know something's up." And she said, "I ran into an old friend from high school at this trade show last weekend, spiritual trade show thing. And he's doing this really cool thing." She goes, "I tried it." And she said, "Stacey, I just made you an appointment. I hope that's okay." And I looked at her and I said, "That is very kind of you." Yeah. I'm like, "That is really kind of you. And thank you so much." And I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, like I just can't do this." But I was like, again, graceful. It's like, "Thank you so much. Wonderful. Like, just let me know where you live and I'll be there." So Friday morning, I go. And I actually felt hopeful because I was like, maybe this guy can help. Like, I don't know. So I walk in and this is when it all starts to go really wild. I walk in, I look at this gentleman, and the first thing I say is, "Oh my God, you're real." I had seen his face my whole life. I always thought he had been like an elder or like one of my advisors or my, like, he just always in those moments, he just always put his hand out and would lead me, like a wise
So
man or something.
hang on. So in your mind's eye, in your intuitive moments, you saw visions of this man, and
Yeah, his face. Yeah.
then you meet him and you're like, "Oh, you're alive." What
You're
was
real.
his
You're a real
response to
person.
you?
Yes. Yes, it was very surreal because it, and he did the same. Like, oh my gosh. He rec in afterwards, as we got talking about it, I saw his face. Like, it was like, oh my gosh, you're real. What he saw in me was a spiritual signature. And he's like, oh my gosh, it's her. Like, I've been looking, it's her. So I didn't know
This is
anything at
getting
this point.
so good. I wish we had a lot more time, Stacy. I might have to have you back so that we can go into this deep web of fun. So continue though. Yeah, continue.
Okay. So I the moment he sees me, I kind of all of this happens in a nanosecond. And then he looks at me and he says, "Oh my gosh, you are so sad." And I'm like, "Yes, I am." And I start crying. And he's like, "Hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. You just sit down." So I sat down. He said, "Okay, close your eyes." And I did. And I followed his instructions, took a couple of minutes, and I opened my eyes and I looked at him. And he said to me, "So can you think of anything in your past now that when you think about it makes you feel sad?" And I just sat in silence. I was totally blank. And when I say like I was sad, man, I was sad. And I just kept looking at him and I in blank. And I said, "I can see it. I can see that I was sad. I can see all the moments I was sad. I can see why I'm sad. I was sad." But everything in my language was past tense. And I said, "I can't." He's like, try to feel sad." And I'm like, "I am." And then I had that moment. And then I had
It sounds unreal. It sounds amazing. It sounds like what everyone on the planet is searching for, that peace of
I'm
not
telling you, this
allowing
is
and
it.
not re reacting to any, yeah, any
Memory.
anything.
The memories. Yeah. So he's like, look at your stories, look at your memories. Now, I didn't say anything but answer the magic question. Because he asked me, like, even though he knew I was sad, he said, "Can you think of anything in your past that when you think about it makes you feel sad?" I'm like, "What do you think?" And I'm bawling my eyes out. And he just said, "Close your eyes." And he did the work with me. And I'm in this very blank space. And all of a sudden, like, the old Stacy just kicks back in. And I looked at him and I did this to him. Like, I pointed my finger at him. I said, "I'm going to figure out what you just did, and I'm going to teach the world how to do this." And that was 15 years ago. So he just looked at me. Yes. Yeah. And I've been
That's
doing this for a long
awesome.
time. Yeah. I've been doing this for, but I've been teaching it for about solid for 10 years now. But I was a practitioner before because I said, if you can teach me how to do this, anybody can learn how to do this because this is not my background. I don't talk like this. I don't think like this, but I do have a Rubik's Cube mind. So I am going to figure out what you just did because I am going to teach the world how to do it. And his answer was hilarious. He's like, I don't know about that. And my answer was, is you don't know me. Watch me. And that was the moment my life changed. And it was in this woman's living room and it changed my life. And
And
I
so
put thousands of people.
Today you are the president of the company. Is that correct?
I'm the vice president.
The vice
Yeah.
president of the company.
I'm the
Okay.
vice president. Yep.
And you've
Daniel
helped
is the president.
thousands of people over the past 10 plus years.
Solid.
To
Yeah.
how beautiful. Well, thank you. From
You're
one healer
welcome.
to the next. Thank you
You're welcome.
for
Yeah.
spreading your techniques and helping people to move into their greatness and to heal wounds that, the wounds need to be healed because they don't serve us otherwise. That's wonderful. Wonderful.
That's right. And what I've done is from the online training. So the online training is there. You can jump on, you can buy the online training and learn this technique through the online training. You never even need to meet me. It also, yeah, it's right. Yeah, it's right there.
So is
And
that then
you go as fast or slow as you want.
Is that self-healing? Is that what that is? What you're describing?
The technique teaches you how to do the technique.
Yeah.
And the training comes with 10 sessions, 10 healing
Oh,
sessions with
okay.
one of our certified practitioners. So this is totally
Oh,
backed up
wow.
with proof. Like, oh yeah. And
Nice.
then the price is all, it's all contained. Like it's one price.
Sure.
To be certified, you do the work, you get certified. There's no extra price. There's no extra prices going forward. And then we always back it up with a live event. Sometimes we do a 10-week program. Sometimes we do a weekend retreat. It just depends on what mood we're in and where we are in our lives and what we're doing in with the rest of our stuff and our other projects. But what I also do is I build other programs. That like right now we're doing, it's called Beyond Amazing, and it's a 6-week program that pops you out of the maze. And we use the technique. I have found the codes that will in 6 weeks pop you out of the matrix and effortlessly and with total grace and with absolute backup from a from a certified practitioner. And I've also got spiritual cleanses that are, I think, 24 videos. We did a summer one, we did a fall one, and a winter one. So you can just buy the videos and watch all of it. And it's all live. Like I don't teach, like it's all live classes that we record. And then you just back it up with a certified practitioner and get the healing. Like
how
it,
exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's so many ways to use this.
That's
Whether that's
wonderful. Yeah.
Learning how to do it yourself, being a client, but if you learn it, absolutely put this into your
All right.
private practice. Everybody does.
We've got a few minutes left. Before we close, we'll definitely share how people can access this information and reach out to you. But I do want, and thank you so much. It's so, my curiosity is piqued. So this is really cool. Tell us, Stacy, where you are right now.
I'm actually in Samoa. I'm working on a passion project with my sister. It's her project. It's her brilliant mind. I'm basically, she had an idea and she told me it and she hired me to make it happen. So I'm kind of doing my Olympic skills of taking out of someone's mind. Same as I did with Daniel. Tell me what you want me to tell me how you're doing this. And I will now go make it real. I will make it happen. So my
you're
sister's
a builder, then you hear the
I'm
idea and then you create it. And so,
correct.
And I'm really, I mean, I absolutely love what you're doing with the fix code. But this is a beautiful, as you call it, a passion project. I just love that.
Yeah.
And so tell us who it benefits and how it's serving the residents of Samoa. Is that correct?
Yes. So there's two passion projects I'm actually on right now, including all the other stuff I do. So the passion project I'm doing with my sister is because she's my sister and she's brilliant and I want to support her in every way that I can. And I have the mind to do it. And she said, you're the only person on the planet that would be as crazy enough to say yes to this job and move to Samoa and do this with me. And I'm like, sister, I'm in. Like, you're awesome. And I want to, if I can help, I will. And if I can Lend you my mind, I will. So that's one passion project, which is of my heart. These are her passions. I'm passionate about her. I'm passionate about supporting her. So that's one of my passion projects here. But my other passion project is I have a consulting or a how would I call it? It's called the Ashbury Youth Center, and that is my DNA. That is really truly my heart place. Mm-hmm. And the Ashbury Center is also a youth center. And what we're doing here is we're working with the youth of the South Pacific, teaching them the fixed code, and so that they can, like, in their mother tongue, whatever that, so that we translate it. And and this is the philanthropy part of my life, where we're teaching the youth of the South Pacific this technique so that they can go back into their villages and help with the mental health crisis in all over the world. But in the South Pacific, there's not a lot of support. I understand that there is one psychiatrist on this island.
Oh my goodness.
That there's no way that they can help. Yeah. So this is a crisis. And with this technique, these youth are able to go back into their villages and help in the moment. They're not building businesses. They're not doing any of that, but they can help their community in crisis moments. And the great part is that you don't, the client, the person in crisis doesn't have to tell them what is wrong. So again, it's very private. Nobody. Yeah. Yay. Again, grace. This technique has so much grace in it.
Yeah. Well, that's just a beautiful, I want to close with that. It's such a beautiful story and a beautiful effort that there you are in Samoa, in the South Pacific. And helping a village and helping to teach this very interesting healing technique to the youth. And that right there says it's not that complicated, and yet it does a world of good. So tell everyone how we can reach you, and I will absolutely put this in show notes and in the information for people.
Wonderful.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So we have a program called Trauma to Triumph. It's free. It's a 5-day plus 2-day bonus video series. And it kind of comes out every day. It's me. You're kind of stuck with me for 7 days. But it basically showcases all of the different things that we can do with the fixed code, who we are. It pops you over to a practitioner's page where you can book a session. I think the girls are $25 for 15 minutes, and you get to experience this technique. Because we're kind of like, we're not afraid to prove it. We prove it all the time. And these girls are amazing. They are certified by us. They've worked their buns off to be certified, and they're just beautiful people. So with the Trauma to Triumph, I've been told many times, it answers kind of all of my questions. Like, over the week, it really does answer all of the questions. And if you want to go further, by all means, take a look at the online training. Take a look at any of the courses that we're offering. I'm going to be putting up the Beyond Amazing, which is a 6-week program that pops you out of the maze really quite effortlessly. It's incredible. But again, I had to do it. So anything that I'm teaching, anything that I'm putting together, any course, I had to do it. I've had to like dig deep and I never build a course knowing I'm building a course. I have no idea. It's just, you know, the crap I'm going through in the moment. And then it's like, whoa, that was really cool. So my classes are raw, they're real.
That's all right. So so this 5-day event, is this a gift? Is this the free gift that you're offering to everyone?
Absolutely.
So anyone who's curious about this, and I'm raising my hand, I am curious. I'm going to sign up and I'm going to explore this more deeply. And if it's, you know, for me, or if there are other healers out there and you hear this, this might be an additional technique that you can add to your toolbox to help all of the people out there who are seeking to heal any past traumas or wounds or, so beautiful. And thank you very, very much, Stacy. This has been a joy to have you here. You're just full of light and adventure and enthusiasm. And everyone, remember that the theme here is creating abundance for radiant health, wealth, and happiness. And there's so many tools and so many amazing people like Stacy here to share their gifts. So thank you very much. And to everyone else, until the next time, namaste.
Thank you for listening to Creating Abundance. Be sure to like and subscribe. Stay tuned for the next podcast and get your free ebook at alanacahoon.com/ebook.